fact that even though we cannot see what you are doing, we know that your plans for us are plans of good and not of evil. We never suspect your motives concerning our lives, even if we cannot interpret the circumstances and the situations. We name you our God, and you will ever be our God in the name of Jesus Christ. Oh, we celebrate your great name. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Please make someone welcome to the house of God. All right, so we were doing some work yesterday in scriptures. In Colossians chapter 1, I would like to invite us to Colossians chapter 1. Colossians chapter 1, can we begin from verse number 12? We're trying to do a recap, and then we'll continue from where we stopped. Giving thanks unto the Father which has made us meet. Sorry, the word meet is ancient English. It means qualified, which has made us qualified to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light. Please underline inheritance. Underline inheritance, because I'll have to come back to that word. Giving thanks unto the Father. The Bible says he has made us qualified to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light. Verse 13. Who has delivered us from the power of darkness and has translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins, who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature. By him were all things created that are in heaven, that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether there be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created by him and for him. He is before all things, and by him all things consist. He is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he might have the preeminence. Underline preeminence. Underline preeminence. If you are a student of the Bible, and I challenge you to study the book of Colossians, because the subject or the meaning of the book of Colossians is that God, from eternity past, as captured in his divine purpose, as pedestaled Jesus the Christ to be the zenith of all reality. So stay with me. I'm going to explain what I mean. Are you there? Part of the reason why it was Jesus that came to pay the price for your salvation, for my salvation, is so that he can be qualified to exercise headship over you, so that you'll be indebted to him. I hope you know that the borrower is what? His servant to the lender. Part of the reason why he paid for your redemption is so that he can be qualified by all standards to exercise headship over your life. It is his effort that has brought us into the context of the new creation. It is because of what he has done. All we did in order to accept what he did was to align with what he did by faith. But the one that created the possibility of the things that have resulted in our salvation today is Jesus Christ. So I would like you to see what the Father did in Colossians. And the object of the book of Colossians is that in all things, he might be preeminent. So God wants Jesus to be preeminent in all things. Are you there? Yeah. He wants him to be the zenith of all reality. He wants him to be the administrator of everything that is within the framework of the new creation. So for us that are members of the church, the body of Christ, it is in him we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins. And that's in verse what? Verse what? Verse 14, I believe. So you see, for us, he's the one that purchased our redemption and gave us a possibility for the forgiveness of sins through his blood. On the account of his purchasing our redemption, it's just like paying bride price. And the moment you pay bride price, in African culture, you are legally married. The transaction of marriage has been accomplished. And that's the same kind of thing that he did. His blood was a bride price. And he gave out his blood as a payment so that you can become his bride. Can you see the matter of headship there? Oh, you're not there. You're not following. I said, can you see the matter of headship there? By the time you go through the list from verse 1 to verse 12, you are going to see that he's the head of the church. You are going to see that he's the head of principality and power. You are going to see that in him, by him, all things consist. And the reason why it is so, it is because God intended in his eternal program for him to be preeminent. I'm still talking about the issue of headship. You get that? So, this is the story of the Christian life. Just like those days, if Israel was traveling and they want to encamp at this point, the center of their camping, because they did not camp anyhow, they camped according to a pattern. And what determined the reference point in their camping pattern was the place where the ark of God was. So if the ark of God were to be placed here, then this would be the place, the tent for the first son of Reuben, second son of Reuben, third son of Reuben. Then like that, until the 12 tribes of Israel. The pattern of where your tent will be, there are no two places where your tent will be in that pattern. As long as you belong to a certain tribe and you have a position in that tribe, the location of where your tent will be in that arrangement is already predetermined because the reference point is the ark. In the New Testament, the reference point is Christ. And that's why he occupies the position of headship. He's the one that determines what is obtainable. It is from his office that you got your calling. The anointing that I'm operating in today, which is the teaching anointing, is derived from his office. So if you have ever experienced the anointing of God, you have ever experienced the mercy of God, you have ever experienced the grace of God, you have ever experienced the help of God, it is a proof that you are indebted to the Christ because all of those resources came from his office. It is God's ordination, God's will, that he will be preeminent. Everything will take their addressing, their empowerment, their reinforcement will be drawn from him. And that's the shape of New Testament theology. And it's supposed to, your life is supposed to be a reflection of the extent of your submission to the authority of the Christ. If there's a loose end and demons hold sway in your life, in any aspect of your life, it's a proof of the fact that there are aspects of your life that are not completely surrendered to the authority of Jesus. And that's why demons have been able to find a platform of oppression in your space. Because everything is expected to be under his authority in the arrangement of the new covenant. If you are still with me, say amen. men. Like I said, one of the benefits of headship is that we are not responsible for the consequences of actions that we carry out under the influence and the promptings of the Spirit of God. Now, we are running a ministry now. If by any means we are led by God to set up a crusade at the international market and witches come against us, the person that has the responsibility to discomfit the authority of the witches is the one that sent us. So every Christian is supposed to be operating from a covered position. Christ being our head and his administration being our life source. In fact, if we go on in the scriptures, you will find out that in the New Testament, God will only solve all of your problems in one way and in one way only. Just one way. God has only one way of solving all your problems. I know that sounds strange, but that's the position of the New Testament. All right, let me show you a few scriptures. And when I do, then I'll now continue from where I stopped yesterday. What I'm trying to do with the scriptures I've used so far is to bring you to church. You are still away, trying to gather you back to the house of God. Hallelujah. Okay. In the book of 1 Corinthians, chapter 1, you will see a powerful scripture. It's a scripture. It's one of my beloved scriptures. I don't know. I always find myself going back to this scripture. And I'll keep going back to it, even in old age, until someone hears what the scripture is saying. In the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 30, Apostle Paul brings a revelation here. All right? He said, but of him. Now, let's do some substitution. Now, that him there, put the Father. Right? Substitute him with the Father. But of the Father are ye in Jesus Christ, who of, can you put the Father in that place where God is? Are you there? Who of the Father is made unto us wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption. You know, I always say whenever we read this scripture that that list is not exhaustive. Because when you go to the book of Psalms, you hear David saying things like, the Lord is my light and my salvation. Who shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? Can you see what this scripture is saying? It says all of us were of the Father. But the Father we are of the Father, and the Father domiciled us in the location. The location where he domiciled us is under the administration of Christ Jesus. So the place where God puts a believer, when you come into the kingdom of God, is under the administration of Christ Jesus. And that administration can become anything you need in life and in ministry. The administration can become wisdom. The administration can become righteousness. The administration can become sanctification. The administration can become redemption. The administration can become prosperity. The administration can become your light. It can become your salvation. It can become... So you see, there is only one way God will solve all of your problems. It will give you more insight into the administration that is in the Son, Jesus Christ. The reason why it is so is because of the principle of headship. Because God wants him to be preeminent in all things. Did you get that? So, when you leave this place, don't be looking for what is lost. The emphasis that a few churches make available for the Christian life is that the Christian life is all about making money and prospering and providing a physical evidence of your prosperity. That is good. It is biblical. But to make the believer feel that his goal is prosperity is an error. Because whenever you begin to chase prosperity as your goal, there is a spirit, an entity called Mammon, that is going to possess your soul. And when Mammon possesses your soul, you have another God. And Jesus warned, he said, you cannot serve God and Mammon. So if what was shown you as the evidence that you are working with God is that you can present a physical car, you can present a house that you bought, you can present the cars that are parked in your vault, and so you are working towards providing evidence to everybody in the congregation that I'm not failing, I am surviving. You see the car I drove in. If that is the measurement, a lot of people will steal to have cars. And at the end of the day, they will lose their souls in the process of trying to acquire things. So the Bible reveals that the life of a man does not consist in the... Okay, you know the scriptures already. So you see, handling the scriptures and providing a goal for the believers is one of the strategic assignments of the apostolic company. Because if you have a wrong goal, you have a wrong pursuit, and your life will have a wrong meaning. And so, the New Testament provides us sufficient evidence to show us the focus for the believer's life. The believer should be focused on Christ and his kingdom. It is the administration of Christ that is the apparatus that God put in place to meet all your needs and all my needs. Let me give you a few testimonies before I continue. Are you there? I'm still talking about the principle of headship. The Bible says that in all things, he might be what? Preeminent. He might be preeminent. So we finished from the university. And after finishing from the university, it became obvious to us that nobody is entitled to give us pocket money anymore. You know, when we're in the university, it's an entitlement. When you come back home, you're expecting that when you are going back, you'll be mobilized. So, we eventually finished. We didn't know we finished, but we finished. Then it dawned on us that we have no legitimacy to go back again requesting for funds. So I now said my youth service year will be used for the prayer of exploration. I will pray the way I've never prayed before. I will fast the way I've never fasted. I will give the way I've never given, so that I can secure direction from God as to what to do next. Do you realize that I began my fasting and my prayer in January? And I prayed and fasted till December. And the direction that I was waiting for did not come. You know, are you there? The day you realize that you need God to direct your path, that day, you know, you are the one that will come and look for God. Previously, it's God that comes to haunt you in your dreams. And he will show you yourself on a crusade ground preaching so that he can entice you to follow him. When you now decide that, okay, I need direction from you, I'm ready to follow now, show me where to go, God will become so scared. Not available. Have you? Not available at the moment. From January to December, I was in a fasting mood. And we were praying like 6 hours a day. Some days more. The Lord spoke on other issues. In fact, I even had angelic encounters. Powerful angelic encounters. And that's where my healing ministry started. My healing ministry started when I had not yet gotten direction. When you begin to seek direction from God, that's when you will know he's king. That he will only answer you because he wants to answer you. Not because you prayed, not because you cried, not because you fasted. You will learn how to wait. You know, waiting is something, is one of the courtesies you learn in a palace. You know, you don't wait for anything because your food is fast food, Indomie. You just do it like this. You shake it with egg. We have fast food. We have We have smartphones. We have everybody's moving. Everybody, like in, if you go to Lagos, there's a place called Orile. When you come there, everybody's moving. It's a lie. They are not going anywhere. Just forget about it. I've stayed long in that city to know that these guys are going nowhere. Everything is fast. Then when you come into the presence of God, you say, no, I don't run the scale you find in Lagos. You'll be there praying and fasting, and he will leave you for 8 months first. When you want to get discouraged, you appear in your dream and say, like an old man, telling you that, the journey is far, the journey is far, the journey is far. Then you wake up, you will not be sure, you are not sure if it's God or not. He doesn't want you to be sure. The thing is, continue. What you'll be sure is about the journey. Whether it's God or not, you are not sure, but the man said, the journey is far. When you go on that trip, if your motivation for the trip was ambition, it will dry out. Oh, my. Oh, when you go on that trip, if the reason for which you embarked on the trip was so that you could get something to show people that I was there. After you labor for some time, you discover that your motivation is no longer reasonable under these circumstances. He will kill it. He will purify. So you will need to revise again and again the reason for which you are embarking on that adventure. I started in January, and it was on the 13th of January, the next year, that God gave me direction as to a path to follow. The reason why I was able to secure that direction was because I knew how hopeless I was if I did not get direction from God. You have a choice. That's why you felt God was delaying. Then you use 5 years in your life to explore that your choice, and you came back and you caught nothing. It's just like Peter. He went on the water side, and all night he caught. Listen to me. If you have no direction, I prophesy to you, you will catch nothing. So it is better, it's in your interest, it's more smart for you to stay until you get direction. You don't know what I'm talking about. You don't understand what I'm talking about. I had a friend, we used to pray together. We used to pray together. So after church, we finish church, then we'll now go somewhere and top 2 hours of tongues. Finish church, we'll go somewhere, 3 hours of tongues. Finish church, we'll go somewhere, 2 hours of tongues. And I was praying this prayer because I wanted direction. I don't know why he was praying, but I wanted direction. I was in that prayer one of those days when an angel from heaven appeared to me and gave me direction from heaven. So I now told him that my own prayer has ended because I have direction. He also ended his prayer without direction. It was 10 years later that I actually discovered he did not get anything. Oh my God. May you get direction from God in the name of Jesus Christ. The direction that came for me was that I was not going into full-time ministry yet, that God was going to make available for me a job. He will grow me on that job until I become an apostle. Meanwhile, a lot of my friends went straight into full-time ministry without direction. So the path I took, getting a job, looked like a waste of time. But that waste of time was with direction. 20 years later, when we came back, the man that wasted time was a man that was in time. The one that was hurrying, he realized after 20 years that he had no direction. And you know, it's humbling because you are not likely to go back after 20 years to seek direction. Your pride will not allow you. You feel that, I've been around. Go back and seek direction. It took me 1 year, but the insight that I got after 1 year is what has powered my life to this point. The Bible says that by him does everything consist. The meaning of your life is not in your life. The meaning of your life is in him. Wisdom demands that you need to consult him to find out what the meaning of your life is about. Because the design in the eternal purpose that God set in motion before the foundations of the earth is that he should be preeminent. Everybody will seek him, will consult him. Everyone will wait on him. That's how it was designed. If you have another wisdom that is better than the wisdom of God, we will see it in your life. Whether or not you found this personality that the Bible calls the preeminent will be revealed in your life in a short while. Are you there? This woman I married here, it is the Christ. I was traveling, I was on the road when the Christ, the great Christ, he spoke into my ear and said, that one. There are many women in this world, but this one is your own. It's how many years now? 15 years. 15 years and I've proven that it is possible for me to fulfill this my destiny. This my destiny is not, it's a strange one. It is possible for me to fulfill it with this woman. How will you know the heart? The real content of a man is the content of his heart. How will you discern what is in that person's heart, if not that the Spirit of Christ reveals it? Oh, you might think that that courtship you had unveiled the person. Okay, do you know how the person will be in the next 25 years? Now, so the entire scope of your Christian life was designed with this in mind, that Christ will be what? Preeminent, which is the principle of headship. One of the strong presentations in the Gospels, in the doctrine that Apostle Paul preached, is the issue of headship. In fact, that's the subject of the entire book of Colossians. And I charge you all to take some time and study it. You'll find it, now that you know the key to unlocking it, it will be easy for you to understand it. It presents Christ as the center and the circumference. Christ as the extent and the limit of divine revelation. That God's walk begins and ends with Christ. And apart from Christ, God does not walk. His office is the only chartered office that is designed to manage the new creation. He's the one that manipulates everything according to the counsel of the will of God. It is his office that is the administrative system that is put in place to actualize the dreams that God sustained in the eternal past that he intends to manifest in the window called time. He is the preeminent, who is the head of all principality and power. So we spoke about the issue of headship yesterday. And we also said that, yes, Jesus is our head in the realm of the spirit. But we came through a family. And the principle of headship is still obtainable at those levels. So what happens to someone that comes from a family where the head of the family is a mage? A mage is the highest rank of magic. So a mage is higher than a magician. So the one that occupies a seat of authority in your family happens to be a mage. And in his transactions with the spirits that he has dealings with, he always implicates every family member. Are you there? Through the altar that he manages, he implicates the life of every family member by making available spiritual liabilities and platforms upon which strange supervising spirits can have access and authority to manipulate the destinies of men. How do you manage that situation? I have four things we need to discuss, after which I will go back to my sermon because I know where I stopped. These ones are additions just so that we can, it's an intervention program. May the Lord help us in the name of Jesus Christ. Okay. Jude chapter 1 verse 9. Yet Michael the archangel, when contending with the devil, he disputed about the body of Moses, doth not bring against him a railing accusation, but said, the Lord rebuke thee. I think I need to explain to us what that scripture is saying. Now, if you are a student of the Bible, you will know that in the Holy of Holies, we have two cherubims in the Holy of Holies. And their duty, their wings are out. Their duty is to protect the glory of God. So if a human minister comes into the Holy of Holies to minister, it is the presence of the cherubims that will protect that minister from the glory of God. Because the glory of God can kill a human. Are you there? Secondly, if that human comes with filth into that sacred presence of God, it is the presence of the cherubim that will protect the glory of God from that field. So these kinds of cherubims that play such critical role are the highest ranking angels that exist in the quadrant of angelic beings. Those two angels, and their designation is the designation of guardian cherubs, and we have only two of them. And the Bible only gives us insight about one among the two, because that angel you call Lucifer, another title that he carries is that he's a guardian cherub. Are you there? Ezekiel chapter 28. He's a guardian cherub. That means he's one of those two glory beings in the most intimate circle of the Almighty God. Are you still with me? So those are the highest ranking angels. That's number one. Then number two. Based on what happened in the Garden of Eden, man was the authority that God instituted upon the earth to be the warden of the earth, to be the authority of this earth realm. And unfortunately for man, he had some transactions with the devil. And unfortunately for him, he was foolish enough to carry out one of the directives that Satan suggested. This is the implication of that action. Satan carried out a directive that Adam carried out a directive that Satan suggested. And one of the laws of the spirit says that to whom you yield yourself as a servant to obey, the servant of him you shall become. So if I decide to yield myself as a servant of the Holy Ghost, I will eventually become a servant of the Holy Ghost. And even though you now market sin around me, it will become unnatural for me to respond to sin, because I am a servant of the Holy Ghost. The more I serve the Holy Spirit, the more anything outside of the Holy Spirit becomes more foreign to my ecosystem. It will be unnatural for me to respond to that thing, because it's not where I live. Do you understand what I'm talking about? So it happens to be that Adam received a suggestion that came from the devil, and he obeyed that suggestion. The implication now became that Adam became a servant of Satan. The authority of Adam now passed on to Satan. Satan became the one that began to wield Adamic power. And in the designation of things, Adamic power is superior to angelic power. Adamic authority is superior to angelic authority. Some scriptures that show provide the evidence of the fact that Satan is currently in custody of Adamic power is the temptation of Jesus. You will notice that in the third temptation of Jesus, Satan takes Jesus in the spirit and shows him the glory of this world. And Satan confessed that it was delivered unto me. It was delivered. It was not given. I'm not the original possessor, but through transactions, I was able to secure it. And it was what? Delivered unto me. So Satan today operates with the authority that Adam was supposed to operate in. Do you understand that? Now, having known these two things, when Satan now came to collect Moses' body, they had sent Michael from heaven to come collect the same body. And the reason why God was interested in hiding Moses' body was because Moses was a manifestation. Moses was submitted so absolutely to the will of God. It was only a few times that Moses did his own will. And one of those times was the reason why he was disqualified from entering into the promised land. But Moses was sold out to manifesting the will of God. That if Moses does something, Israel would think it's God that did it because of his yieldedness. So when Moses decided to do something and it was not God that led him to do it, God had to judge Moses because he wanted the children of Israel to know that it was not him that was responsible for that action. That was how sublime Moses was in the hands of God. Are you with me? So if Satan had possessed Moses' body and had come out, just like because God used to use him to give directives to the children of Israel, and had come out in that body, and he said, all of you, fornication now is approved. It was going to... You are not. It was going to risk everything that God has been. So God had to send angel Michael to come conduct a secret burial for Moses. Moses was that man that angels had to steal his body. But unfortunately for Michael, before he could access the body, Lucifer was already present at the location. And you know, are you there? You are there?
Yes, sir.
Okay. So Lucifer was an authority. In terms of ranking, he was a valid authority, and his new station, the legitimacy he had acquired from the authority that he usurped, gave him right to the earth. You know, Adam's authority was aquatic, was terrestrial and atmospheric. I've showed you before. And that's why we have, there's an aspect of demonic activity that operates from the water. Oh, you're not here. Because you did not respond, we will cut it. You know, there's an aspect of demonic authority that operates from the water. Because Adam's original jurisdiction covers the water. There are spirits. Spirits that operate from the water, there are spirits that operate, terrestrial spirits. Some operate from the forest. There is a way they are. Many of you have seen people that they brought here with Azor spirit. That's a spirit that is in the forest. That's the forest spirit. It has a cry that is like a cry of an animal. You know what I'm talking about. Don't look at me like that. You know. We also have spirits that their abode is the graveyard. Those are the spirits that very good wizards use for necromancy. And if sorcery comes into the third dimension and they need to bend some spiritual rules to create favor for somebody, sorcerers will ask the person to go to the graveyard so that they can commune with the terrestrial spirits that operate from that place. Are you there? All of these territories from whence these spirits operate are territories that are under the Adamic realm of dominion. So by legitimacy, Lucifer had the right to stop Michael from taking Moses' body Because the body was in his territory. I'm still talking about two headships. Two headships that are legitimate. God sent Michael. Michael came into a territory, discovered that Lucifer has taken over that territory, and he is the Lord of this anger. According to rank, Lucifer was higher than him in rank, even as an angel, and even much higher because he's using Adamic power. So according to rank, he was no match. So what did he do? In order for him to win the day, he invoked the authority of the headship under which he was dispatched to come retrieve the body. How did he do it? He said, the Lord... I hope you know Angel Michael is the angel that is a war angel. In fact, the name Michael means strength. A few people in the chronicles of a few prophets, Angel Michael has appeared to a few prophets before, and I've read their chronicles. One of those prophets that Michael appeared to was Apostle Joseph Ayo Babalola of CAC. And he said when he saw Michael, Michael did not put his feet on the ground because he was carrying so much energy. He was not sure if the ground could hold Michael. So Michael was suspended. It was Michael that gave him what he gave him, that he too, during praise and worship, he began to suspend. Are you still with me? He didn't put his foot on the ground. Michael, if you don't need a dictionary to know what strength is, the moment you see Michael, you know this is strength. This is strength. This is the metaphor called strength. So in terms of warfare, he's designed as a warring prince. You will notice that Angel Gabriel was put in the prison that was built by angelic princes. Huh? Because Gabriel is not a warrior type angel. Gabriel is in the department of information. Those angels that give you dreams in the night and then you wake up and say, they come from that realm. They communicate in language that is spirit. Words that are spirit and words that infuse life. So, as powerful as Gabriel was, he was imprisoned by a prince. And Michael had to be released to come fight with him to release him from bondage. So Michael is used to fighting. But you see, the issue here is an issue of authority, not of strength. Even though Michael was stronger, but if he uses his strength, he'll be using it illegitimately, and that is going to confiscate him, confine him for a long time. He would have wandered out of his estate, and even the covering of God would not have kept him. So he was in a tight situation. How did he bail himself out? He said what? The Lord rebuked. So I'm going to show you from the Bible the times in scripture where that statement was used. The Lord rebuke you. Can we do number one? The answer to the question is the Lord. Do what? There is an easy moment. Your grandfather, your uncle is the one controlling the altar and is sending supervising spirits to come monitor your destiny. And you have seen the evidences of the activity of those spirits around your life. What is the answer? The Lord. Now, there are some words you should never lose from your tongue. One of them is this one. The Lord. Let me show you two times where you find this in the scriptures. Go to the book of Zechariah. Zechariah chapter 3. Zechariah chapter 3, beginning from verse 1. And he showed me Joshua the high priest standing before the angel of the Lord, and Satan standing at his right hand to resist him. And the Lord said unto Satan, the Lord rebuke thee, O Satan. even the Lord that has chosen Jerusalem, rebuke thee. Why is not thee a brand plucked out of the fire? Verse 3 is a commentary. Now Joshua was clothed with filthy garments and stood before the angel. So when Joshua was summoned, and the reason for which Joshua was summoned was because he was given the ordination and the calling of the priesthood. If he operates in his office accurately, there are some symptoms that will not find expression in society. So the things that his priesthood was designed to protect the society from were the things that were prevalent in the market, in the hospital, and in public service. So he was summoned into heaven to give account of his stewardship. How that his presence is now irrelevant, even though his priesthood has the cure of the symptoms that are seen in the city. The moment he appeared, there was no need for questioning, because he appeared and Satan was at his right hand to resist him. The ground that Satan stood upon to resist Joshua was a legitimate ground. Why? Because Joshua had some filth in his life. And even though Joshua was going to appear before the presence of God, you would think that the presence of God will insulate Joshua from the resistance of the devil, but not so. The issue we are talking about here is legal, is issues that have to do with legitimacy. Legitimacy. You can't deny that that man is your uncle. And he has bloodline legitimacy. And as the one that occupies the capacity of headship, his priesthood will affect you, whether you like it or not. But you see, you have something stronger than his priesthood. You have another headship that is the head, is the preeminent head of principalities and powers. It's higher than the realm that you operate. You need to bring the potency of his headship into the matter to swallow up this headship and to make null and void the petition that rises from the altars that have been raised in the name of darkness. When Joshua came into the presence of God, Satan was standing at his right hand to resist him, right there in the presence of God. Oh, someone say, yeah, that when I go high in tongues, the anointing will come on me. Right there in the presence of God, this demon will still hold you in a hammer lock position. Right there. Right there. The anointing does not insulate you from this kind of assault, because it is based on legitimacy. Are you there? Let me show you something. So, God now rebuked Satan. Why did God rebuke Satan? What empowered God with the authority to do that? It was because Joshua was a brand that was plucked out of the fire. And I told you that the meaning of fire in that scripture is judgment. So God allowed Joshua to experience judgment for a season. And the reason for the judgment was because of the filthy garments that he had acquired. Are you there? So when we say that he was plucked out of the fire, we mean that he has fulfilled the cycle of judgment. So Satan no longer has a legal ground to hold on to him, because he has fulfilled the requirement of justice, of judgment, and of equity. So I want to say to somebody in this congregation that the reason why you pass through the downtime that you pass through was so that the legalities allowed a certain legitimacy that Satan has secured to manipulate your life will be undone. So God allowed you to pass through a season of reproach. But now, in this service this evening, God is plucking you out of the fire. And the legitimacy that the kingdom of darkness had to plunder your life is also removed from your head. The Lord rebuke thee, O Satan. Oh, Jaiko Kamina. When he said the Lord rebuked thee, he made a statement. He said, even the Lord that has chosen Jerusalem rebuked thee. You have been chosen. But the Bible says that you are a chosen generation, a peculiar people, a holy nation, that you should show forth the praises of him that has called you out of darkness into his marvelous life. So one of the reasons why he rebuked Satan was because he's the Lord that had chosen Jerusalem. By an act of his will, he exercised his authority to choose Jerusalem. Just like he exercised his authority to choose you. There were so many people in your family, but he decided to choose you by an act of his authority. Oh, his jealousy. He's aroused over those ones that he had chosen. And he says to Satan, the Lord rebuke you. My God, save me now. Koria Barakus. The Lord rebuke you. If you are an enterprising Christian, you must not forget that. The Lord. The Lord rebuke you. Then we have it again in the book of Malachi chapter 3. If you read Malachi chapter 1, Malachi chapter 2, the emphasis of Malachi chapter 1 and chapter 2 is a principle, just one principle. The principle of honor. If you study your Bible, you will find out that there are a few things that belong to God. Now, if you see anybody manifesting, it is because the Lord is rebuking something. So don't worry about that. The Lord rebuke you in Jesus' name. Even the Lord that has chosen Jerusalem rebuke. Like I said in the book of Malachi, chapter 1, chapter 2, one principle is being explained, is the principle of honor. So God now reveals to us in Scripture how we can honor him. In honoring God, we must give God that which is due his name. Are you still with me? One of the things that is due to God is tithing. Many might argue that the tithe is no longer applicable to the New Testament believer. That is because of lack of knowledge. We have two priesthoods in the Bible. One is the Levitical priesthood and the other is the Melchizedek priesthood. In the days of Abraham, Abraham paid tithe. He paid tithe and he paid it to Melchizedek. That was the first priesthood that actually manifested. So Melchizedek accepts tithe. Do you still remember that Jacob made a promise to God that if God should support him, protect him, and bring him back again, he will give God a tenth of all he has. And Jacob and Abraham existed before the law came into existence. It was the Melchizedek priesthood that they operated, and they gave tithe. In the Levitical priesthood, the system through which tithe can be received is established in that priesthood. But the concept of tithing existed way before that priesthood was established. And by the time you go to the book of Hebrews, you will see that we are operating under the auspices of the Melchizedek priesthood. And the Melchizedek priesthood took tithe in the days of Abraham. He will take tithe now. And he will still take tithes in the world that is to come, because that's the shape and the nature of his priesthood. So one of the things that we do in order to honor God is to give him his due. I did a teaching on this, and I mentioned all the dues of God. Just like you pay NEPA bill, you pay tax. That's your due as a Nigerian. Are you there? So in the kingdom of God, there are also things that are due God that will come from your life. The least among them is your tithe. And by the time you come into the New Testament, you give God more than tithe. The Old Testament, the requirements was tithing. The New Testament, the requirement is consecration. So what you have and what you are is his. But you see, God will not take what is his. And the way for you to practice consecration is to begin from tithing first. And after tithing, you will now have a sense of responsibility that there are actually things that belong to God. Then God can now come and say, resign. I want to use you as a minister behind the pulpit. Stop the work you are doing. You cannot obey that voice if you have not been obeying in tithing. Tithing is like the ordinary level requirement. So the Bible says in Malachi chapter 3 verse 10, it says, bring you all the tithes. And you know, I said, it's the principle of honor that is revealed here. Into my storehouse, that there might be meat in my house, and prove me now herewith, saith the Lord, if I will not open the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing, that there shall not be room enough to receive it, and I will rebuke the devourer for your sakes. I will rebuke the devourer for your sakes. So when you give God his due, as you begin to press during this fasting and prayer, there are some dues that God will ask you. Give me this. One of the things you will enjoy by complying is that God now takes the responsibility to rebuke the devourer for your sake. Can we pray tonight? Evangelist, I think you need to come and continue that your prayer. You rise up.
Let's take that song. I think you're in the spirit.
Above all the name, his name is Jesus. His name is Lord. Sing it from your spirit. Above all the name.
Just worship him. You are recognizing his authority. One more time. Satan, the Lord. We are not sounding as if you just received. Satan, the Lord.
Rebuke you.
Satan, the Lord.
Rebuke you.
Now, when you say that, you invoke the authority of the Christ. So it doesn't matter the priesthood, the evil priesthood, the negative priesthood that is over your life. There is a clear revelation tonight. Satan, the Lord. Michael didn't need to waste time with Satan arguing. He just brought a verdict. That was high-tech intelligence. You just got it for free tonight. Satan, the Lord. Can you begin to rebuke? Can you begin to tell that situation? The Lord rebuke you. That negative priesthood. The Lord rebuke you. How you will pray this prayer will determine, will show whether you have an understanding. The Lord rebuke you. The Lord rebuke you. That evil verdict over my family. The Lord rebuke you. That's a word you will never fail to use. The Lord rebuke you. The Lord rebuke you. The Lord rebuke you. It doesn't matter the color. In Jesus' mighty name. In Jesus' mighty name. I like to draw your attention to the message once again. Now, the personality that showed up is the highest in that cadre. It's not a warlord that showed up. It wasn't a warlord. It wasn't your father's elder brother that is an Ezemo that showed up there. He's the highest authority in that cadre. Satan. So we are talking about Satan. So there is an authority that can neutralize the verdict of Satan. The Lord rebuke you. So it doesn't matter who is responsible. We came with a verdict. The Lord rebuke you. If Satan could leave the body of Moses because of that declaration, how much more tonight? The Lord, can you enforce that advantage? Can you enforce that advantage? What an advantage! What an advantage! The Lord rebuke you, Satan. The Lord rebuke you, Satan. The Lord rebuke you, you warlord, you SMO. The Lord rebuke you. Exercise that authority on the basis of your submission to the Christ. The Lord. If you are not saying something, perhaps you are a suspect. The Lord rebuke you. The Lord rebuke you. The Lord rebuke you. The Lord rebuke you, Satan. The Lord rebuke you. Ates kapatana. Sapalia. The Lord rebuke you. The Lord rebuke you. No matter the legitimacy that is behind your oppression, Satan, the Lord rebuke you. In Jesus' mighty name. In Jesus' mighty name. Now, you are not praying. We are still going. Tony, give us 5 more minutes, please. 5 more minutes. Hear me. No wonder. Oh, 20 is 20. Please, comply, comply. Yesterday, we used 20 minutes. I thought it was 2 minutes. Before I looked, it, time has gone. 20, put 20. Okay. No wonder. He said, even the lawful captive shall be delivered. It's on the basis of the Lord. Because you are passing through certain situations that you are legitimately a captive. There is nothing you can do to get out of it except the Lord. Oh my God. Hey! Can you rejoice a little? Just rejoice in this revelation. Somebody rejoice! Somebody rejoice! Online on site. Rejoice! Rejoice! We have an advantage. We have an advantage. Ah, the Lord rebuke you. Shall the prayer be taken from the mighty or the lawful captive delivered? Yes, yes, by the Lord rebuke you. So I'd like you to declare to every lawful captivity, the Lord, roar like a lion right now. The Lord rebuke you. You sickness, I know it is legitimate. Your oppression may be legitimate, but I came tonight to say, the Lord rebuke you. Yes, indeed, he may have a legal ground for tormenting you, but we came tonight to say, the Lord rebuke you. The Lord rebuke you. Satan, the Lord rebuke you. The Lord rebuke you. The Lord rebuke you. Address that situation and declare by it, the Lord rebuke you. The Lord rebuke you. The Lord rebuke you. The Lord rebuke you. Zapatosatia. In Jesus' name. Let me show you something we are going to pray with. Give me Numbers chapter 3. Numbers chapter 3. Ah! Numbers 3 verse 1. These are the generation of Aaron and Moses in the day that the Lord spake with Moses in Mount Sinai. Yes, go to 3. That should be, wait, find me where Moses spoke. I'll get this, that scripture. Give me my, I think that should be Numbers 30. Give me my, yes. Thank you. Well, I'm going to give you that scripture in a moment of time. Shalim and I. Ah! You can just flow in tongues. Flow in tongues as I get the scripture. Ah! Yes! In Jesus' name. Numbers 30. Satan is a bastard. The Lord. Oh, I didn't hear you. The Lord! Look at this. And Moses spake unto the heads of the tribe concerning the children of Israel, saying, this is the thing which the Lord has commanded. Verse 2. If a man vow a vow unto the Lord, or swear an oath to bind his soul with a bond, he shall not break his word. He shall do according to all that proceeded out of his mouth. This is headship now. Now go to verse 3. If a woman also vow a vow unto the Lord and bind herself by a bond, being in her father's house in her youth, and her father hear her vow and her bond, wherewith she had bound her soul, and her father shall hold his peace at her, then she's liable. If the father keeps quiet, Jesus will not keep quiet tonight. So if we don't use that word, the Lord rebuke, Satan can actually take you. If we become quiet, Satan can take you. Now imagine if Michael had not spoken, Moses' body would have been taken. They would have made an idol out of it. Satan would have ravaged the whole of the nation of Israel. Now hear me, if the father becomes quiet, the woman will suffer, she will pay the pledge. But verse 5. But if her father disallow. Now listen to me, that vow is unto the Lord. That is to show you how God recognizes authority. Even though the vow she made was unto the Lord, if her father, the father here is headship, says you won't pay it, this vow, you are free from it, she becomes free. Not for her righteousness, for headship. Apostle, God will bless you. You are a blessing to this generation. Is somebody understanding what I'm talking? He said, if the father disallows and said, continue, she will suffer. She will pay the pledge. But if the man by headship says, you won't pay, you are free from this pledge. Listen to me, any pledge, satanic pledge you are made to pay. There is a law that will rebuke that pledge tonight. Philip, are you following me? I won't pay that pledge. The pledge of untimely death. The pledge of sorrow. The pledge of premature death. I won't pay. Because there is a, the Lord rebuke. However, if you become quiet, if Michael had become quiet without imposing the authority of headship, Satan will collect Moses' body. Nothing will happen. He said, but if her father disallow her in the day that he heareth not any of her vow or of her bond, wherewith she had bound her soul, shall stand. The Lord shall forgive her because her father disallowed it. Satan, the Lord. And when you go through the scripture, if it's a married woman, even though the pledge was from her father's house and the husband says, you won't pay, the Lord honors it. So it means that you are blessed if your husband is a believer, if you're a woman here. Your husband has the authority to stop ancestral curses following you. He has, by Christ has given him that authority. Look at somebody and say, the Lord rebukes every of your trouble. Oh my God. No, you are not. The Lord rebukes every of your predicament. The Lord rebukes every legitimate case against you. The Lord rebukes Satan on your behalf. Say, I won't pay the pledge. I won't pay the pledge. Because the Lord rebukes the devil. The Lord cry. The Lord rebukes. The Lord rebukes the devil. The Lord rebukes the enemy. Satan, the Lord rebukes you. 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 Hey! Ah! Hey! The Lord rebukes you. Jesus mighty.
today. In Jesus' mighty name. She said, but if her husband disallowed her, who is your husband? That is, if the husband says, I rebuke this pledge. I reject this pledge. Now, this is irrespective of the fact that the pledge was from her father's house. That she came into the marriage with the pledge already. With the pledge, the man will say, you won't pay. Any pledge you were to pay, the Lord. Sir, it means you can look at your wife and tell her, it does not matter what your foundation was. Now that you have come under my government, I rebuke every foundational disorder. Guys, this is sweet. This is sweet. This is too sweet. My God, Jesus is the husband. Jesus rebukes tonight. Jesus rebukes tonight. One more time, can you cry and say, to that situation, that foundational disorder, that necromancy over your life, over your family, necromancy protection, the Lord, rebuke, shout it loud, the Lord rebuke. You will pay the pledge. The Lord rebuke that evil order, that satanic arrangement. The Lord rebuke. 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 Apate Satana Bara. Kaseba. Settle that matter tonight. Settle that matter. Once and for all. Settle it. Settle it now. Settle it now. The Lord rebuke you. In the name of Jesus, we are going to pray one more time. But listen to me. See, some of these, our SU brethren, we are very spiritual. There are some songs they wrote that I'm beginning to understand. Somebody wrote a song and he said, I am married to Jesus. Satan, leave me alone. So that was a deep understanding. I am married to Jesus. Satan, leave me alone. My husband is coming to take me to. So the argument there is that Satan, you will leave me not because I'm powerful, but because I have a head. Because I have a head. And my head will disallow this vow. He will not be quiet altogether. He will disallow the vow. And in those days, they will say, if you are praying, close your eyes. I'm not. Oh, it was alignment. It was alignment. So that you will not be distracted. Those people were spiritual. Where has all this our modernism taken us to? Somebody is angry that a man of God is placing the integrity of his ministry before the people. And you are angry. Where are we going to? the Lord rebuked them. The Lord, finally, you are going to pray for somebody. To hold somebody. You are going to stand in the position. Michael said, the Lord, now if it will be better if it's 2-2. Look at that person and say, the Lord rebuke. You are not coming under your authority. You will do the same thing Michael did. The Lord. So you say, I don't care what you are passing through, whether it is lawful or unlawful, whether the captivity is lawful or unlawful. I don't care the war law that is ahead in your family. I don't care the reproach of poverty that Satan has brought. I don't care whether you are guilty or not. But I came today as a prophet of God to declare the Lord rebuke. The Lord rebuke Satan. The Lord rebuke that reproach. The Lord rebuke that reproach. The Lord rebuke that reproach. The Lord rebuke that untimely death. The Lord rebuke. Yes. The Lord rebuke. The Lord rebuke. Come by the authority of Christ. Take leverage of that authority and declare, the Lord rebuke. The Lord rebuke. Whether lawful or unlawful. Whether the reproach is lawful or unlawful. The Lord rebuke. The Lord rebuke. The Lord rebuke. Ah, Shatpatola. Satan, the Lord rebuke you. The Lord rebuke you. It's a night of victory. It's a night of victory. It's a night of victory. The Lord rebuke. The Lord rebuke. Zametola. Zametola. Zametola Patokata. The Lord rebuke Satan. Ah! In Jesus' mighty name, I am hungry to say the Lord rebuke. Can you allow me to say it tonight? Can you allow me to declare that tonight? I'm hungry. Lift up your hands, online or side. The Lord said, you will not pay that pledge anymore. Oath is invalid on the basis of the Lord rebuke. That pledge of untimely death will not be paid anymore. That pledge of reproach will not be paid anymore. Because the Lord has rebuked. Because the Lord has rebuked every of your reproach, every of your predicament, predicated on legality. I'm saying whether the trouble, the problem, the affliction is legitimate or not. Tonight, by the authority of the message preached and by the intelligence you have received, I stand on this holy altar to say, the Lord rebuke that reproach. It's a good time to say a loud amen. The Lord rebuke that calamity, that pain, that shame, that reproach, that calamity. The Lord rebuke. 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 in the name of Jesus, you will not pay that satanic pledge anymore. You will not pay that pledge orchestrated by an electromancer, occasioned by an SMO. Never again! Because the Lord has rebuked. Let me hear your amen on top of your voice. Let me hear an amen that is corresponding to the declaration. The Lord rebukes. I hear my spirit. Celebrate. Don't stop. Just celebrate for 2 minutes. For 2 minutes. 2 minutes. 2 minutes. Celebrate. Just celebrate. Just celebrate. Just celebrate. For 2 minutes. Just celebrate. Just celebrate. Celebrate. Celebrate.